Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, tuning in each and every week. You know, we are on a number of different radio stations as well as some podcasts. Some of the podcasts we're on are Spreaker, Stitcher, Apple Music Play, Google. What else are we on there, Daryl? You got all the...
I do, and I just covered it up.
No, it's fine. I mean, a lot of that stuff, I know it's Podclips.io. I think we mentioned Streaker, Stitcher and Spreaker.
Of course, The Mortgage Voice.
Yeah, and themortgagevoice.com. That's on YouTube. And if you go to all these things and check, yes, I like, yes, I want to join, it really helps you get better informed because you get some alerts and things about the show. Themortgagevoice.com is also our website. And if you go there, you can see the guests that are on the show as well as listen to and also contact the guests that are there. So I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice, and thanks for tuning in. Okay, so I'm heading on over here on the way to do the show. The studio is at one place, and I work in another place, and I live in another place. So it's a little bit of a logistical nightmare. But I began to kind of coalesce in my mind what I'm going to talk about on the show. As you can tell, it's a very large preparation time, about 20 or 30 minutes. So in driving here and getting into my show mode, I was thinking about how some people who are in, you know, trying to get a mortgage, who are trying to get into the real estate market, how long they have to plan, how long you have to be ready to do it, to be saving, to be all of the things that you need in order to line your ducks up in a row in order to get prepared to purchase. It's not simple. It's not, you know, it's not, obviously the joke was, it's not this radio show for me. No, it's a very serious and long thing. A hiccup like 2% raising interest rates over the last 6 months will destroy your chances to get a house in a lot of cases. Why? Because as we all know, every $100,000, one percentage point ups your monthly payment by $100. So if you have a $500,000 mortgage that goes up by 3 percentage points, well, that's $1,500 extra a month you've got to pay if we're doing principal only calculations. And for a lot of people, that really shoots you out of, you know, the ability to purchase a home, especially in a market like this. Now, some of the statistics that I'll go over later in the show will illustrate exactly that. Now, we're in a mixed market. We're in one of these markets that is not quite sure where to go. Now, when I say market, there are a lot of different markets. Okay, so let's talk about the real estate market. What is happening in the real estate market? Well, in some of the cities around the U.S., prices are falling, and they're falling because the interest rates have risen, as I just spoke. If you're going to have to pay $1,500 more because 3 months later the rate has gone up by 3%, and that shoots you out of the water because you were only planning to spend X amount of dollars a month at 3.5%, you're now expected to pay Y amount, and it's, you know, $1,500 extra a month. Well, you just can't buy it. So what happens to those people and how do they solve their problems? You don't. You're out of the market. The only other way that you can solve that problem is if prices themselves for the product reduce. So is that happening? Well, we see 20% rise year over year in terms of the price or the value. Or if you own a home, you now have 20% more equity in your home. Now, a lot of that is, you know, subject to, I guess, the buyers and sellers in that particular marketplace. But if you look at comparables of sales today in your neighborhood to what they were a year ago, you probably saw a 20% rise. Outstanding. Astounding, really. Now, if you're trying to get into that market and you've seen the rise in interest rates, but correspondingly not lessening of price in the real estate market, you can't afford that market. But we're, as I said, in a changing market. And the main reason is rising interest rates. It's going to lower prices. The question is, when is it going to lower prices? And how fast is it going to come down? And are we actually in the same kind of territory that we were in 2008? Now, you all remember in 2008. Anybody that doesn't remember, well, you should just read about it. It's not that long ago, a couple 12 years ago, right? Something like that. So in those days, what happened to the real estate market, what happened to real estate prices was that mortgages were so easy to get. Signature loans, liar loans, all kinds of deception going on within the loan themselves, straw buyers, all kinds of things that you hear and you go, what the heck is that? Well, it's all illegal. That's what it is. You know, forged bank statements to get loans. Yes, the industry played a huge part in making that the worst real estate market, the worst real estate crash in almost the history of the U.S. real estate market. Now, are we going to get that particular fall now? No. Why? Because the loans themselves are based on the 2008 Dodd-Frank legislation, which made everything completely different with how you process and get a loan. It standardized the mechanism by which Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac buys the loan from you, the lender. Now, you may have lenders that aren't necessarily Freddie and Fannie sellers selling direct, but they sell to somebody who sells to Freddie and Fannie. Why? Because the mortgage security agencies, the GSEs as they call them, they're the biggest purchasers of mortgages in the U.S. market. And last year it was about $4.5 trillion. You think about that for a second. And I would say the 3/4 of that was going to Fannie and Freddie. Obviously there's FHA loans. Obviously there's all cash deals. And obviously there's private label. But in terms of how the market is changing, let's just look at that for a second. Because there are some cities and there are some indications that what we've seen is a break in the momentum of rising interest rates and a break in the momentum of rising real estate prices. Let's look at 4 or 5 cities. Just, and we may have gone over this last week, but I want to reiterate it because it's really important, especially for those people who are worn out. Anybody who runs a marathon knows what I'm talking about. When you are at mile 24, you're done. You just want to cash it in. You don't even want to. I've done races like that where I was just like, forget it. I'm done. I don't want to, you know, I'm looking for a way to cut short, make a shortcut. Well, when you're purchasing a house, sometimes it's like that, especially when you get conditions like this, when you get the real estate market that rises 20% in a year, the mortgage rates that go up 3% in 6 months, you're like, oh, forget it. But in some of these places, it may be the indication that we're seeing some softening. And by softening, what I mean is prices beginning to lose steam and getting some reductions. So in a place like Provo, Utah, Daryl, you know where Provo, Utah is?
I sure do. It's a little south of Salt Lake.
Okay, nice place, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wonderful place.
Beautiful place. Okay, in Provo, Utah, in the last week, we have seen a 47.8% reduction in prices of 47.8% of the houses that were listed in their MLS. That's a big number. You get half the number of your homes that just drop price. Guess what? That bodes well. Now, Provo, Utah is an expensive place to live, but in other places, let's pick 40% cuts in these particular cities, which is not 47.8, but it's 40% cut in prices, 40% of the houses in these markets. Tacoma, Washington, Denver, Colorado, Sacramento, California, and Boise, Idaho. All four of those markets, 40% of the houses have cut prices. And that number keeps increasing. We talk about it each and every week. 1 week it was 7%. Next week it was 15%. We're now talking about 40% about a month to 6 weeks after we've initially started to inform you that, yes, we were starting to see some cracks in that particular aspect of the real estate market. So real estate prices are coming down because they're slashing prices. Now, I don't know if 40 or 47.8% of the price of the number of real estate properties that have slashed prices, I don't know if that really reduces the overall price of what you've been paying from last year to this year, but I can say that the trend is going to help buyers. It's not going to hurt buyers, that's for sure. And in terms of what we all need to do in order to keep focused and really just hone in on what your particular aspect of the process is and what your first-time home buyer, right? We talked about the marathon and how you get worn out and how you're tired and you're getting to the end and bam, all of a sudden there's another hill, i.e. 3% interest rate hike in the interest rate for your mortgage in the last 6 months. So that's the big hill at the end. What do you do? Well, this is Heartbreak Hill for you at the Boston Marathon. This is what it is now for you. What do you do? Well, you've got to look at places and things. One of the things to look at, obviously, is how are you prepared? And there are several things that you can do in order to prepare for that house once the market comes down. I told a friend who was looking to buy, single mom, very excited about wanting to buy, but, you know, obviously stressed because there's a lot to do, right? As we talked about, getting your financial house in order is the main thing. And I said, you know, that's all well and good, and I know you're anxious to get it done right now, but if you wait 6 months, the house prices will definitely be lower than they are today, and there'll be more houses on the market than they are today. That's just a given. Several things I wanted to cover so far, but I guess we got to it. We'll get to it in the next section. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, for listening to the show each and every week. You know, we're on YouTube. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but we shoot the show for TV, and then we post it on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, click on all the buttons that say you like the show. Of course, that's my personal plug. And also, join our group. There's a lot of people that get notifications that we just posted another show, whether it's the long-form radio show version or whether it's the short-form LinkedIn or Facebook version. You can get any of these shows anytime you choose Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice on YouTube. And thanks very much again for tuning into the show. Okay, so we talked some about the real estate market. We talked some about the changes that are happening and continue to happen and will continue to happen probably through the year. We're trying to find some footing as to where the rates are going to go. They were up, now they're back down a little bit. But anyway, to sort through all of that is from PacRes, Stacy Hartman, who joins us now. Stacy, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Okay. Can you explain any of this for me so that I can understand it more fully? What is happening with the rates? I don't know.
Well, nobody really does. No, I think what we're starting to see is, you know, when we last talked, I think it was April, and it was extremely volatile. I think what we're starting to see is a normalization of the market, and rates are starting to settle into where they should be. And
right.
I think this is where they're going to stay now for some time. And it's going to take a minute for consumers to wrap their head around the reality that this is now the new interest rate environment, but it will happen. And you will start to see prices sort of normalize a little bit as well, and maybe some markets being impacted harder than others. But this is starting to normalize. We are not in the refi boom that we once were, and we don't have that refi opportunity to just lower rates anymore.
You know, because of the rates are where they are, and they went up really fast. They were almost up to 6.5% in some lenders, but now they're back settling down, at least the 30-year fixed at 5.5, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's as a result of the market cooling or the fear that the lenders won't have any loans to do and they've got a lot of bills to pay?
I think it's a combination of everything, to be honest with you. I think we have a lot of additional factors going on in the economy that we just haven't seen before. We still have a war going on. We have a global pandemic. You have a lot of factors that are involved in, and you have a secondary market that is still hesitant to open up the credit box and really dive deep into lending post-crisis. Everyone is still, it was still a very, very fresh memory of all of the losses suffered during the crisis. So normally what we would see is the credit box starting to open up, different programs, different products coming to market that would entice people to enter the market that maybe didn't before. And we're just not seeing that quite yet. And the interest rates itself holding out the way that they have been, I think that's also just a fear of, you know, what's to come, the unknown. And you know, it's going to be a minute before we start to see that happening. I think the secondary market is starting to see that.
Right.
And we're starting to see it open up a little bit, but it's just not happening as fast as we would expect it to at this time.
You know, I love the explanation, and you talked about credit box. So let's get into that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing over at PacRes in order to solve some of the, you know, the problems with getting people loans who may be not, you know, qualified because of the new rate? What are we opening up over there? What's happening?
We are. Okay. We're looking at all kinds of product opportunity. In fact, that is the one biggest thing. I mean, of course, you have to have a strong interest rate. That goes without saying. But being able to offer products for people that be first to market as a lender to serve our broker community, things like buy downs, 3-2-1, things that used to be once upon a time, interest only arms, things like that.
Uh-huh.
all of that is coming, and we're starting to see that being offered more in the secondary market, which so we are really at the forefront of trying to pull those products together and offer them on the street to our mortgage broker community.
So the secondary market, other than, you know, Fannie, Freddie, Ginny products,
yeah.
are you also in the non-QM sector where they have hedge funds? Or okay.
Yes. So we'll have some non-QM, very interesting jumbo product, and some auxiliary, like I said, interest-only type products, second, things like that, yeah.
Hey, tell me something about the jumbo product that you have to offer. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm asking is because jumbo interest rate always lags behind the 30-year, always lags behind some of the other, you know, more, I guess, popular. Mm-hmm. Is it because of the down payment they're putting in, there's more skin in the game, or is it because, why?
I think, it's not an agency product, so this is securitized products with Wall Street money, you know, and Wall Street is still a little hesitant with jumbo product. Again, going back to the crisis, it's much more difficult to have a bunch of $1.5 million loans sitting in a portfolio that you can't do anything with than a, you know, $200,000 loan. So they've been very cautious to open up, but we're starting to finally see it. And the reality is most of our credit that we look at is high credit, 780 plus FICOs, you know, they're really good borrowers.
Right.
They just need a little more access to the money. So we just need to open it up for them a little bit. So yeah, I think that we're starting to see that. And most of the jumbo product that is out there is the same jumbo product across all lending channels.
Right.
However, I think you're going to start to see some really specialized, unique product offerings just based on special alliances that certain lenders may have with some Wall Street money. I think that's what you're going to start to see.
So PacRes, they do California or is it nationwide? Where are you doing most of the loans?
Yeah, we're in most states right now and expanding still. Fresh into wholesale. In fact, wholesale has our business hasn't even technically launched yet. We'll be launching here very soon next week. So we're a really new company, which is really nice because this is the best
time. I'm losing you a little bit.
Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know if you were moving or the earth was moving.
No. I think it was the earth.
Yeah,
it was. but yeah. Definitely the earth. But yeah, so, you know, it's a really exciting time to enter the market during these times to be able to offer brokers something that they've been really just missing out on for a long time.
Well, I think there's such hunger. I mean, I know many people, especially people who work at Malibu Funding, the company that sponsors the show and pays me. There are, like you say, there's hunger for new products. Why? Because obviously with the rates rising the way they were, you just can't cookie cut and stamp these things and get them in and out the door because you actually have to go out and have great product knowledge as well as do some successful navigation of whatever the client needs, but also to try to figure out what is the best loan for the client. So bringing new products to the market is really needed, especially, you know, because everybody's income is down.
Absolutely. Income is down. And with interest rates being up, obviously that would create a higher payment for people.
Yep.
And there's an underserved market for the consumer. There's a population of borrowers that are just not really being served right now that we need to tap into.
No, I agree. All of that is true. And I think the fear in the marketplace is 2008, right? That's what everybody's thinking. Oh, this is another 2008. And I just, on the earlier segment of the show, talked about how somebody over at National Association of Realtors came out. It wasn't Lawrence Yoon. It was this other person, Wolfson. And she said, oh, no, these are the six things that why it's different. And then, but people don't forget. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of worry, especially in the investment community, that we could be headed for something like that. You got a guy like Summers out there yelling and screaming how the economy is going to just tank. So given that what it is, do you have any ideas about second half of the year? Because that's where we are.
I think that it is going to be a tough year. It's going to be in another tough 12 to 18 months for sure, as looking at the economy as a whole. As housing goes specifically, we're in a more normalized market. I think what's going to end up happening is you're going to start to see a little bit more inventory, but I don't think it's going to be anything that, you know, everyone's looking for the prices to drop so significantly that they can now get a deal. I don't think it's going to be like that. And we've learned that already from the crisis. As bad as it was still just a blip.
Right.
And we recovered very, very quickly. And we don't have the circumstances that we had in 2007 and 8 and 9. We have a much more qualified buyer. We weren't doing the kinds of loans that were happening before. The fraud is quite quite minimized.
Right.
So from a lending perspective, we're much stronger to come through on the other side. I think much stronger on the other side and quicker.
I agree. Stacey, we're up against it. I really appreciate you coming on. Can you give people a way to get in touch with you in case they want to talk to you about some of these great products you've been talking about?
Thank you. LinkedIn would be the best place to find me and the easiest.
Okay, excellent. And this is Stacey Hartman from PacRes. Stacey, thanks very much for coming on the show once again.
Thank you, Gus.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. You know, we're on each and every week. You can see us on YouTube. We're certainly on a number of different podcasts. Yeah, like I'm an idiot. Of course they're podcasts. Yes, and we're on a number of them. Daryl, do you have that list for us?
I sure do, Jeff. We're on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast. We're on Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, Podclips.io, TheMortgageVoice.com, and of course, YouTube.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you want to hear and see a lot of great podcasters, go to podclips.io. I joined that group about 6 months ago. Got a lot of great information and feedback from them. Podclips.io has a number of different topics like finances, the one I'm in, sports, lifestyle, health. There are all kinds of things. Podclips.io, go there. Get some great podcasting podcasters. I'm Jeff Barton, and thanks very much for tuning in. If you want to have great information, who do you go to? You don't go to me. You go to the people who go to me. People who come on the show each and every week are smart. They are in the business. They're usually loan officers, account executives, bankers. They're all kinds of professionals that have been doing this a long time. And we got a changing market. You're going to need help. I need help in terms of both buying and selling a house, but also just understanding the market. One of these people locally here in the Inland Empire in Southern California is George Gonzalez. George joins us now. George, how are you?
Hey, Jeff. How you doing, man? I'm doing great, man. It's good to be on the show, like always.
Thank you very much. You know, you got a shout out to all the Dodger fans out there who need a loan. You know, I'm sure there are some.
Yes, sir.
They have to mortgage their house to go to the game, though, and that's the problem.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about what's happening in the Inland Empire, specifically in Rancho Cucamonga, where you live.
Okay, sounds good, Jeff. Well, basically, man, it's going to be, I'm sure everybody's seeing it on the news and hearing it on the news and from friends and family members and whoever they can hear from. Rates are going up. Interest rates are going up. Home sales prices are still going up. They're not reversing like everybody's thinking. They're supposed to go opposite. It's a brand new market. And even me, I've been in this market for almost 12, 13 years or whatnot. I don't even remember. Something like that, but I'm still feel like a new baby in it, you know, because of all the different changes that are happening. So basically what we're happening, we're seeing that the rates have come down back to about to the mid five and a half, where, right, you know, right before, what was it, right before June or May and June, they were almost to six, 5.5, 5.75, and they were creeping up, but then all of a sudden today again they're down to the 5.5. And so that's where I think right now would be a good time if anybody can just lock them in and don't play with them no more.
Now, when you represent buyers, because this is really a buyer's market as opposed to the refinance market that was really, since, you know, rates rose two to three points, really killed the refi market. So you're in the purchase market now. What are you telling your clients in terms of getting approved prior to going out and making an offer? What are you telling them?
I'm telling them that we need to look at what the interest rate is bringing their pricing to, you know, depending on what house they're trying to buy or depending on the sales price. I'm telling them every day, you know, if you see a new house that you're going to put an offer on, you need to find out what that payment's going to be before you give the okay on that offer, because every day you don't know what's going on right now. Sometimes they change more than a quarter to three quarters of a rate, you know, on a daily basis, which is, it could be, you know, a nice little fee going up, nice little payment going up, depending on where your sales price is.
George, explain what a buy down is for the people out there, because I think a lot of people get confused with the terms that we use when getting a mortgage. I know for myself, The buy down is a way by which to lower your market, lower your long-term costs, but the upfront can be expensive. How does that work?
So basically, what it is when you when you go to buy down, for instance, the 5.5% rate for a conventional right now is a standard rate. There's no buy down for that. 5.5 would be, you know, what they call par pricing.
Okay.
And there's no buy down. Now, there's some clients who say, hey, George, you know what? I like that 5.25. And, you know, is it okay if, you know, if we can try to get that? And I said, oh, no, that's fine. You can get it, but it's going to cost you. And then that's when they call it a buy down. And then they call it a buy down a point, 2 points, depending on what it is and how the market is you can actually get what you're looking for, but you've got to understand you're going to buy. Have to pay it up front out of your pocket.
And in this market, because you have such high prices in real estate where the down payment might be the difference between a successful deal and a non-successful deal. For instance, an FHA 3.5% deal doesn't look as attractive as a 20% down 30-year fixed. Is that right?
That is correct. And obviously the main part of that is because of what they call mortgage insurance. You know, there's an upfront PMI payment, premium mortgage insurance, is discharged by the government. They charge it for getting financed on an FHA. They do that for, let's say, these buyers who have lower credit scores and a lesser down payment. And the rate looks way more attractive, but they need to be explained that upfront MIP is going to be a nice little chunk. It's mm-hmm. going to make their payment go up. And then also the monthly MIP is also going to be attracted to that for a while. That's going to make the monthly payment go up, and that's going to be included in that payment as well.
So if we're looking at a borrower who says they want to buy down the rate because they can think long-term, if I'm in this property for 20, 30 years, that particular upfront fee will be paid off in, you know, 3 to 5 years, and I'll make a huge savings in the long run. How do they go about doing that, and is it something that needs to be approved, or what? How does it work?
Okay, well, you're talking about an FHA?
Yes, I am.
The conventional?
Yes.
Okay, so the FHA right now, as a matter of fact, I believe, I'm going to have to check again to see if they updated this, but they're not removing the MIP no more. I'm believing once you get the FHA loan, the only way to get rid of that MIP is once you've paid down 20% equity into your house, then you'd be able to qualify for a refinance to get into a conventional loan. They won't just drop off the MIP when you're in FHA, I believe. And I'll have to double check. Don't quote me on that, but that's what I understand from my last update.
When you're working with borrowers, when you're working with people who are out there purchasing, do they just give me a sense of what's happening in the marketplace? You know, the Michigan study comes out every month as to the sentiment in the marketplace, you know, how people are feeling. But you have your ear to the ground, your boots on the ground, you're working, you have your kids all over the place in terms of locality. What is the feeling out there in terms of what's going on with the economy? Are they nervous? Are they longing for the Trump boom days? Or are they, what's happening?
Well, here's what's going on. So basically how it is I seen today as I updated myself before I got on this show, I was actually following up with a couple banks that we actually work with. And what we're seeing right now is the 200K year earner families is what you call it, their income is about 200K a year, those families, they're still okay on the buying. You know, of course, they're like, I don't like paying it. I don't want to pay it. But they can still afford to pay it. So who it's really affecting right now is the starter family homes. And so that's what we need to get is some of these some buyers. Because, you know, the lower income, it's been pretty rough, Jeff, because I've had right now I'm putting together some buyers who used to be just, you know, two buyers. Now they're needing their son and their daughter or maybe even a brother. Like I'm having four or five borrowers to qualify, you know, non-occupant co-borrowers,
yep,
just so that people can get in a house because the rent payment is going to be the same as the mortgage payment. They have no choice, but they have to do it. I have to explain this to them because they don't want to do it, but I have to explain this to them just so it makes sense to them, you know, from A to Z.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
It used to be easy, Jeff. You know, loans, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I was like, oh, these loans are so easy when the rates were so low and, you know, buyers calling and people of course, boom, boom, boom. But now it's like, okay, George, you got to start explaining these from real, you know, A to Z, how these loans work, or they're not going to want to be interested on them.
Yeah,
so that's how it is.
Yeah, it's tough. And I even think in your neighborhood, there is no starter home. Where are the starter home? Where do you got to go?
Oh, and that's another one I was going to tell you. So that's another thing. So over here, let's say the lowest you can probably get at a beginner is about 600,000, where it used to be, you know, 350, 400-ish, you know.
$600,000 starter home. That's not easy on 15 bucks an hour. No, sorry.
Oh, yeah. No. It changes everything. You know, like, for instance, if they see a house, if they get lucky for $600,000, you know, put 20% down, you're looking at about $120,000 down a $480,000 loan. At about a 5.5% interest rate today, if you locked it and got lucky, you're looking at a principal and interest of about $27,000-$25,000.
Right.
And that doesn't include the taxes and the insurance, because, you know, the taxes and the insurance on that kind of home is about $7,500 a year, which, you know, is about $625 a month.
Right.
And then you add the homeowner's insurance is another $1,500 a year, $125 a month. You're looking at a good, $3,500 for this house after putting the 20% down.
Unbelievable. George, we're up against it. Shout out how people can get a hold of you if you would.
Call me directly at 909-900-9565, 909-900-9565.
This is George Gonzalez from Malibu Funding. Terrific loan officer. Good guy. Give him a call. I'm Jeff Martin, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks, George. Thanks for coming on.
You got it, Jeff. Anytime. My pleasure.
Okay, we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show each and every week. We bring to you not only guests, but interesting ideas and topics that we talk about. You know, there's a lot going on in the economy. Are we going into a recession? Are we not going into a recession? How's that going to affect my payment? Well, everything that goes on within the mortgage world that's affecting you, your payment, how you're going to qualify for a house, and even the house itself. I mean, in some markets right now, we're seeing a reduction in prices, but it has nothing to do with the market itself. It has to do with the fact that because interest rates are high, buyers aren't there, and slashing of prices has to happen in order to move product. That is a function of interest rates being hiked, and that's all about the Fed. So let's talk about it with somebody who actually knows way more about loans than I'm ever going to know, a former underwriter, processor, loan officer, good person in Las Vegas, Nevada, Gail Whiting. Gail, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm okay, thank you. Okay, you heard my brief description about what's happening in the nation. What's happening in Vegas?
I could say that's about the same, that overall Fed, you know, Fed funds rate not having too much to do with the mortgage rate.
Nope.
You know, the lenders will raise the rate to what they see fit, you know, and, you know, trying to achieve some sort of balance, not to let the prices go, you know, over a cliff.
Gail, that's interesting that you say that. If I may interrupt just quickly, you say that the lenders make the decision to raise rates. It's not arbitrary, or is it arbitrary?
The federal funds rate.
No, I mean the lenders. I know what the Fed funds rate is. I'm just talking about lenders in general. They're raising, obviously, due to the 10-year, but some are raising just because they want to make more money. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Sure.
Okay. No, that's good, because not many people just shoot straight from the hip and say, hey, you know, look, this is really what it is. You can talk bond rates all you want, but really, if some lenders just want to make more margin, that's what they do. They up the rate.
Right. And come on, they're banks.
Right.
They're in it to make money. Now, I think when the rates went on that last increase, went a little bit over the top.
Agreed.
A day or two later, the banks were all lowering because, you know, they don't want to shoot their, you know, foot to spite their face.
Right.
You know, they still want to make loans. of course they want to make loans, and they're highly tuned to, you know, what interest rate they feel that homeowners could handle. You know, on an average, you know, I don't think they want to keep the rates. You say, why don't they keep the rates low so they can get more business? But we don't want home prices, you know, to just go over the cliff. It's a balancing act, and between a lot of factors. So a lot of, you know, balls in the air is what you want to say.
Right.
And when they can make an extra dollar or two, they're going to do it. I mean, the rates were just
ridiculously low. I want to switch gears.
Too low.
Yeah, just switch gears just a little bit in terms of the quality of the loans that are coming in the door today versus what they were a year ago. Now, obviously, a year ago, because rates are so low, almost anybody could get a loan. It was pretty straightforward. But now rates have gone up, and has the credit, your ability to get credit lessened, or is it greater? Are the loans better? Are they worse? What's going on in the market itself?
Well, I feel the guidelines are still the same.
Okay.
You're going to get some tightening, of course, possibly on some guidelines. I haven't seen any significant changes to those.
Right.
Same thing, credit score, income, you know, type of house, all that kind of good stuff, down payment. All is across, you know, the conforming type loans pretty much staying the same. Haven't seen any tightening in guidelines. So,
well, that's a good
FHA,
thing.
Fannie Mae, you know.
Right,
and
right.
Such as that.
Have you seen the lenders themselves tighten, or aside from what Freddie?
No, okay. I've seen them. Well, I have seen lenders tighten in what we call the non-agency loans. You know,
okay.
Those ones. You know what I'm saying.
Non-QM, yeah.
Non-QM, which is not your Fannie, Freddie, FHA, you know, your conforming or your Govy loan.
Right.
But I think I have been seeing some tightening in maybe some of the non-agency investment property purchases and non-agency second homes. They're just ticking, wanting more and more down payment,
right?
Like about 5%. You know, and
now you deal with a lot of new home sales in Las Vegas. Is it different buying a new home from a builder versus buying a second or a pre-owned home?
Well, funny you should ask. I do have a loan in process from a builder.
Okay.
The builder has gotten behind.
Oh boy.
Probably well over a month. And the borrower, you know, you generally lock a loan for 30 days.
Yep.
And I think possibly push back even a month, month and a half. And it caused, the interest rate.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a problem. Yep.
Right. Yeah, and so that's created some. Now, what I would say is very difficult, and it has always been difficult on new builds,
right.
And this is regardless of rate. On a new build, here in Las Vegas, our property taxes are unbelievably low. Low. Very low.
Okay.
And all the lenders want to use, you know, maybe the national average for property taxes being about 1.1% of the loan. So, for instance, on this particular loan, if you used the 1.1%, you were pretty much almost at $1,000 per month.
Okay.
And for the lender averaging those property taxes. Well, it just so happened because the builder was a little bit delayed. The new construction amount did pop up on the Clark County website. And I'll tell you, that amount is $375.
A month?
Compared to, yes. So the drastic difference in the national average on property taxes, right, if you know the ratio,
right.
1, 7.1. Well, it popped in, and we're at about 4,800 for the year, and that equated to the monthly property tax.
Yeah, the bill was
around $375 per month.
Right, from $100 a month, right.
Right, from $1,000. And then, so the borrower, remember I said they were delayed a little bit, so
yep.
The borrower missed out on the better rate due to the builder not being ready. But since those property taxes did pop in there eventually, and they don't always do that, we were able to, it was a very nice surprise for the loan that it offset a little bit about the interest rate increase when the property taxes were determined to be much lower than they were.
Yeah.
And that's,
right, from $1,000 to $300? Yeah, I bet the borrower was happy. And like you say, it offset whatever they had to pay in terms of the increased rate. And if it was an FHA deal, maybe even some of the MIP.
So that's one thing I can say about Las Vegas. We have some pretty amazing property taxes.
Pretty amazing. Gail, we're up against it. I so apologize. I want to continue our conversation, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell people how to get in touch with you if they want a great person who could do a loan for them.
Sure. My phone number is 702-503-3252, and my email address is gail.malibufunding@yahoo.com.
Excellent. Gail, thank you very, very much. You're the best. I appreciate you coming on
thank
the show.
You. My pleasure.
Okay. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. You know, if you want to see and hear this show, we're on 5 terrestrial radio stations, one in Albuquerque, New Mexico at K-Mine in K-Mine Country. I want to say hi to all those folks down there. We're at 2 in Southern California at KCAA, as well as KMET in San Bernardino, Riverside counties. They do great job, and I've been with them, I don't know, 8 or 9 years that we've been doing the show. We're also up at K-Tahoe in Lake Tahoe in the Tahoe-Reno area, as well as KSHP at K-Ship in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, we would love to be able to get some information, comments from you. And so if you want to send us something, just go to the website that we have. It's themortgagevoice.com. Send us a little note about what you're going. By the way, I have a blog there. We talk a little bit about what's going on in the market, how maybe we can help you in terms of strategy and what some of the forces are that will make your decision better, easier, or helpful. It's themortgagevoice.com. And, of course, all our radio stations, thanks very much for tuning in. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Okay, so we were talking earlier in the segment that we had some pressures in the market as to whether the interest rates were going to continue to go up or whether the product was beginning to soften and we were seeing more houses on the market. And all this really was really going towards what I wanted to talk about, which is some of the things that you can do. I'm talking about the article that I just read by Allison Wolfson. She's the director of forecasting for the National Association of Realtors. She put out an article about things that you should know about the housing market. Now, the National Association of Realtors, understand, is a trade organization, so a lot of the stuff that they put out is an advertisement as such. But some of the things that she talked about are pretty standard, but also some things that we need to be reminded of when buying a house. We're in that kind of a market that we have to keep really focused on what we have, what we are, what we can bring to the table, and, of course, the inventory that's out there. The first thing she talked about is the outlook for mortgage rates to rise even further. Well,
when this article was written versus what the actual rates are today. Let me just go through the rates for a second. 5.5% for a 30-year fixed, 4.84% for the 15-year, 5% for the FHA, 4.75 for the jumbo loan, and 5.12 for the ARM products, the 5-1 ARM. Now, 5.50 is actually 1% less than the rate was 3 weeks ago. We have seen a lowering of the rates, and therefore we've also seen an uptick in mortgage activity, although not a great uptick because we still have 2%. We had actually a doubling of mortgage rates on the 30-year fixed rate loan from January until, as I said, about 3 weeks ago, end of May, early part of June. As I said, rates have come down. That's a good thing. As Ms. Wilson is talking about the outlook for mortgage rates to rise even further, I think that that's true. Although last year, the year before, and I dare say even the year before COVID, we predicted on this show that in January that we would begin to see rates rise. Well, it didn't happen, and it hasn't happened until this year, right? Till January till now, yes, they have risen. But we're always predicting doom, gloom, and the death of the real estate market as we know it, because we've seen that happen in the past, and most recently in 2008, right? Everybody remembers it was a disaster, and the whole world almost failed financially, but it was all due to mortgage-backed securities and the loans that were presented at that time. Now, not so much. So will rates continue to go up? I say yes, but maybe the prediction that I had at the beginning of the year, which is they would hit about 6%, 6.5%, is more likely to be the case now than it was necessarily at the beginning of the year. Okay, number two, some buyers may want to consider an ARM. Now, we quoted the adjustable rate mortgage product, and what their percent is 5.12%. Now, 5.12% is not bad. I mean, if you calculate it out, I mean, if you were at 3%, 3.5%, on a ARM product 2-3 months ago, it's really a point and a half more. How much are you really going to pay? Well, we all know that. It's $100 per $100,000 on every percentage rate it goes up. So a point and a half on $100,000 would be about another $150 a month every $100,000. $500,000 mortgage? Well, you can figure out. It's easy. About $750 extra a month. But still, that's not bad, especially on an ARM product. Now, those kind of products are really tricky because you have to really know what you want and how you want it, meaning you can't get past the adjustable rate period without having some freak out, because as we know, it could adjust higher than your current rate. So that's one thing to be aware of. Okay, number three, there are signs that the market is cooling. Talked about that in the earlier segment. There are several markets right now where listings are being cut from their original asking price, and that's a good thing. That just shows us that they're not going as quickly as they once did. I think we quoted last week or sometime on the Facebook and the LinkedIn show that we're about 3.5 months now, as opposed to 2.5 months in terms of inventory in the market. As we know, seller's market is anywhere below 4 months on the market. 4 to 6 months is a neutral market, and over six is a buyer's market. That's 6 months on the market. So, number four, institutional buyers may increase competition for first-time buyers. Okay, one of the problems that happened in 2008 when we had all those foreclosures is they never really came back to the market. They were bought by large companies, hedge funds, people who were looking for a way to make a buck. Hey, let's face it, if I own 30, 40, 50, 150, 1,000 different rental units, well, people still need a place to live. So as the economy recovered, so did the rents, and the rents went up. And those companies that bought large tracts of these foreclosed homes, that was their business model. So will that happen this time? That's what this article is saying might happen and might put a squeeze on first-time home buyers. Home prices will continue to rise at a slower pace. Okay, we also heard that as well. Inventory to rise. That's our last one. And the number six, yes, inventory will rise. That's a good thing. If you want to wait till after September when kids get back to school and traditionally the summer buying season ends, hey, look, it's only a couple three months away. You might be able to find a better deal than you can find now. And the economy may be closer to the big R word, and nobody wants to talk about it. But that's what people are worried about. So let's get through just a couple other things in our news to use section, and then we'll close up shop here. Mortgage apps down 28% from peak, 28%. New home sales down 17%. Housing starts down 13%. Oil's down 8% below $100 today. Macy's $65. This is via the Citigroup and their Econ store. I don't know if it was on the radio or on the other show. I went in to buy a Snickers bar the other day. $3. $3 for a Snickers bar. Come on, they were a nickel when I was a kid. Regardless, that was 100 years ago. But $3 for a Snickers bar, it's not just the fact that we've got oil problems or we've got war problems or there's COVID problems. There's a lot of gouging going out there. People who, I mean, it's unbelievable. The little store in the corner, don't tell me they're bumping their price on Snicker Bar wholesale, you know, that they buy two boxes every 2 months. Come on. It's just the ability to be able to rip people off is not legislated. So don't buy the Snickers bar. I hear you. But if you're looking at oil and gas and food and other things that don't necessarily have to be risen because there isn't that much of a shortage, yeah, there's some gouging going on out there. Housing up 20% May, year over year. We talked about that earlier. The euro dollar is what they call it, slides 20-year low to the dollar. We're almost on par. When the euro first came out, it was about $1.80 to buy a euro. Now it's pretty close to 1-to-1. Well, that's unbelievable. Now, what does that do? It means that U.S. products are more expensive, but the U.S. dollar goes more overseas. Now, obviously, Europe, in the midst of war, they want to see economies continue to... They're in rough shape, let me tell you. I mean, the news you hear, the news you want to read about, the oil embargo, it works both ways. That is a symbiotic relationship between what's going on in Russia and the former Soviet states that are still aligned with Russia, China, as well as the West, Europe especially. We're all in this together. So it's either got to get sorted out and fixed quickly, or else there's going to be a lot more of this going on in terms of both inflation and the devaluation of the euro. Okay, let's see. Natural gas up 700%. As oil drops, natural gas is up 700%. And who is the major distributor of natural gas in Europe? You got it. It's Russia, which is one of the problems why a lot of the EU countries and a lot of the NATO countries are having issues with the way they want to boycott. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. It's one way or enough. Okay. Anything else? I'm rushing through this like as fast as I can go. No, I think that's it. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Appreciate you listening to the show this week and each and every week. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.